Thank you for choosing this podcast. It's our pleasure to share with you the word of the Lord. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Join us as Pastor Jim Bunch shares God's word with the people at Christian Outreach Center in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
I tell you, there's so much, folks, that we can thank God and praise God for. You know, we can sit around here and bemoan our situation all morning, and I can tell you my sob story, and you can tell me yours. And we can lament how bad we have it. We can do that. You might go out feeling better. I don't know. After you hear mine, you might not. But I believe that I've got something better than that. Amen. Whew. I hope that before this service is over, that every one of you are as high as I am. I have found a drug. Not manufactured by man, not in a bottle, not in a pill. I have found something, church, that is eternal. Amen. And you can access Him anytime, anywhere, and have this joy. There's just, how many of you have ever done a study of joy in the Bible? You've just went through the Bible and did a study of joy. How many have done that? One. After today, you're going to open your Bible and you're going to read with renewed interest in the word joy. Rejoice. Joyful. It's going to come alive to you in ways. Some Christians ought not go to heaven. They're going to be miserable up there. There'll be nothing to complain about. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no death. There'll be no Satan. There'll be no sin. What are they going to have to sit around and go, I'm just sad today. I'm just going to be sad today. They ought not go. Because they're not going to be happy there. Some Christians would rather tell you about their problems and there's all their ailments than they would to talk to you about Jesus. Holy Ghost, make every one of them drunken skunks today. I pray that you will rain down on this place right now. Lord Jesus, do it. You know there are people praying for you all over the country. Did you know this? I can verify this. There are people praying for you in Missouri. There are people praying for you in Florida. There are people praying for you in North Carolina. There are people praying for you in Michigan. There are people praying for you right here in Oak Ridge, some in home meetings. And I just want to say thank God for all the people that are praying for us. Can you say thank you, Jesus, for all the prayer warriors that are praying for this church? Praise God. I'm a little bit like Paul in the book of Philippians when he was thrown in jail and some people came to Paul and said, hey, Paul, you know, there are people out there preaching the gospel because you are in jail. And Paul said, so what? As long as they're preaching the gospel. Listen, I don't care what you're praying about for this church. Keep on praying. Hallelujah. Keep on praying. I may not pray the way you pray. That's okay. You just pray. Praise God. You can't go wrong when you got this many people praying for you. Something good is bound to happen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But just don't pray for me sad. Bless God. Get happy. You know, let there be a little joy in your prayer. If you gather around praying and you're just, oh, never mind. Let me try to preach. Let's see. Okay. Title of the message, Be Filled with the Spirit. How many of you believe that? Yes. Be filled with the Spirit. Is that an option? For believers, is that an option? Can we take it or leave it? Is it for some believers, but not for others? What do you base that on? Go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. Just as a starting point. Ephesians 5:18. I'm saving the worship team for the end because the end is going to be awesome. In the meantime, you got to put up with me. So just hang tough. But we're going to get back to the worship. Folks, we need to bless God. We need to stop moping around here. We need to bless God. We need to praise God. And I'll show you why. I'll show you why. You say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like it. I understand that. I understand that. You may say to me, how come you always feel good? I don't always feel good physically. I don't even always feel good emotionally. But I have learned a secret. Amen. And I'm going to show it to you this morning. Okay, let me give you a definition. To be filled with the Spirit, which is the title of the message, be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, this is what it is. The victorious life is a Spirit-filled life characterized by joyous singing and thanksgiving. Let me say it again. The victorious life. Are you a victim or are you a victor? Are you a victim or are you a victor? Are you a victim or are you a victor? Are you a victim or are you a victor? You're one or the other. You can't straddle the fence on this one this morning. I pray that before this message is over, before this service is over, you'll realize that you have a victim mentality and you need to get out of that stuff and get into the victorious life that God has for you. You do not have to live as a doormat. You do not have to live in defeat. You do not have to live in the mully grubs all of your Christian life, praying and hoping that someday in the sweet by and by, you'll get out of this mess. Hey, there's joy in the journey. Bless God. I don't know about you, but I'm going to have a ball. You can come along or you can sit on the sidelines and throw tomatoes at me. I don't care. I'm going to have a ball. I have ministered over the years to so many people that have been in bondage so long. And I have watched as the Holy Spirit set them free. And man, let me tell you what a difference in their life. What a glorious difference in their life. And let me tell you this, you couldn't put them boys back in a box. No way. They won't go back. Galatians tells us that once we've been set free from religion, we ain't going back. You ain't putting me back there. Mm-mm-mm-mm. The victorious life is a Spirit-filled life characterized by joyous singing of thanksgiving. The victorious life is a Spirit-filled life characterized by joyous singing of thanksgiving. You say, that's too simple. That's what I told the Holy Spirit when He gave it to me. I said, they all know that. That's too simple. He said, preach it again. Preach it again. Okay. Now I'm going to enjoy it. And as Paul would say, it's not a burden for me and you need it. And that brings us then to Ephesians 5:18, where the present tense of the verb in the Greek means just that. Look at it. Ephesians 5:15-18, but we're going to look at just the one verse. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. That's what it means. Keep on being filled. When I have my greatest challenges emotionally and spiritually to stay up on top of things is when I don't go back to the well and get refilled. I've watched this over my life. When I try to go into that battle, into that trial, into that test on yesterday's manna, I soon find myself defeated, depressed. You know what I mean? Let's read then the context, Ephesians 5, 15 and 18. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do we live in an evil day? Do we live in a day of anxiety and pressure and uncertainty? My goodness, yes we do. Therefore, do not be foolish. Do not be foolish, James. Do not be foolish, Aaron. Listen to me. If you're still in this church, you must believe that I have something to say. Or you wouldn't be here. So what about if I don't play patty cake baker's man with you and I just get right in your face and tell you the truth? Because this is what Paul would do if he's here. This is what Jesus would do if he was here. Don't be foolish. Have you ever, you know what my dad used to say? He used to say, that bell will take that foolishness out of you, young man. And boy, he was right. I've respected that belt. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. How many of you know the Lord's will? Raise your hand. This is not a trick. Okay. Here it is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I know I can't preach this now. I know I can't. Always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Did you get that last part? This is the will of the Lord. Why do we worship the way we worship? Because the Bible says we should. And because the Holy Spirit has given us a heart to. Because we have come to understand. Wow. Have we come to understand some things about this victorious life. That if we can master these. Man. Let me read that to you from the Message translation. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Huge droughts. Droughts. D-R-A-U-G-H-T-S. Say it. Droughts. Huge droughts of Him. Can I borrow a word from the world that some of you that have lived in the world will understand, and those of you that have not will bear with me and not condemn me and turn me off? Belly up to the bar. The Holy Spirit says, come on, boys. Come on in. The water's fine. Why do you hold back? When the Holy Spirit is free. Some of you right here in this service this morning, you are envious of those who have liberty. You are envious of those who have liberty. I know. I've been there. God gonna set you free. God gonna set you free. You're gonna realize eventually that you have that liberty. That you have that liberty. It's not restricted to only those emotional freaks in the church. You have that liberty too. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. There's a tear in my beer. What are you listening to? What's going through your head? Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God, the Father, in the name of our Jesus Christ. Whoo, that's good. I'm having a hard time this morning. That's what happens when you drink before you preach. It messes you up. The contrast with drunkenness is the key here. And I need to talk about that. What do people go to alcohol for? The high and the joy. Come on. Escape from reality. Show of hands. How many of you have ever got drunk to get happy? Let me see your hands. All right. You know why you do that? Because you don't have any happiness. You don't have any joy. Now, I'm going to struggle this morning. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to struggle with explaining this joy. Because it's eternal. Yet it's right here, right now. It's almost liquid. I mean, I'm going to have a hard time explaining joy. And the word happy is a word you relate to and understand, so probably I'll use that word a lot. But understand, it's not the happiness produced by temporal things. It's an eternal happiness. We all want to be happy, but there's a problem. The days are evil. If you could put me in a vacuum and there never be any conflict, there never be any test, there never be any trial, there never be any difficulty, all of us could be happy, huh? Maybe. After a while, we would become bored, wouldn't we? But the days are evil. There are tests, there are trials, there are difficulties, there's opposition, there's persecution. And so we find ourselves being pressed on every side. And so we look for a way of escape. The days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. Why do I need the Wednesday night, the Saturday night, and the Sunday morning? Because I need you, brothers and sisters, to pray with me and worship with me. There's times when I come in, I'm feeling about as low as a snake's belly. And I need you to pray with me and worship with me and help me, and so that I get picked up. Don't turn. Here, listen to this. Where do you turn when the days are evil? When you're frightened or discouraged or depressed or anxious, where do you turn? Paul is pleading with us. He's saying, listen to me. Don't turn to alcohol. Don't turn to entertainment. Don't turn to drugs. Don't turn to anything in the world. Turn to the Holy Spirit. And be filled with Him. Be controlled by Him. Be overpowered by Him. Be flooded with Him. Anything of value that alcohol can bring you, God the Holy Spirit can bring you more. Are you with me? Am I telling the truth, Alan, Kim? Am I telling the truth?
Yes, sir.
Sonny?
Yes.
Sam? James, have you learned this yet?
Yes, sir.
Not going to ask you last time you had a drink, James. Now, I'm going to meddle a little bit. Is that okay? Show of hands, who will give me permission to meddle? All right. Don't go out of here and say, Pastor picked on me. Just as it's not all right to get high on alcohol, neither is it all right to get high on prescription drugs. Take them as prescribed Do not abuse them. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. It is not all right to get high on marijuana. This is good. We understand each other. We are maturing saints of God. We want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We want to be full of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're learning that it's the better life. It's the better life for us individually and for those that we are going to help. There are people who can't begin to whistle a happy tune or sing a song at work. They look like they hate the world and the world hates them, and they're so tense and so anxious about life. But later that evening, on the way home, they stop by the tavern or the bar, the sports bar. Give me a break. Just because they put a TV in there doesn't make it okay. Oh, this ain't really a bar, Pastor. I just come in here to drink a Coke and watch the TV. Right. I didn't fall off the turnip wagon yesterday. You know what I mean? You got to make some choices. You're going to continue on the path you're on and continue with the defeat and the destruction, or you're going to turn to God and you're going to live a victorious life. You say it's easier living this way. No, it is not. Don't let the devil delude you into believing that living in sin and living a defeated life is easier than living a victorious life. It is not. It's a lie. But boy, when they get a few drinks under their belt, they can put their arms around each other and hug one another, and they can sing them old beer drinking songs, and they can sing and laugh for that little time that they're high. All of us long to be carefree, uninhibited, and happy. And the mounting tragedy of our day, as was in Paul's day, in Jesus' day, and many other days since then, is that increasing numbers of people, even Christians, believe that the only way they can find this childlike freedom is by drugging themselves with alcohol or other mind benders. Such behavior dishonors God. And so Paul says, there's a better way to cope with the evil days. Be filled with the Spirit, stay filled with the Spirit, and you will know unmatched joy that sings and makes melody to the Lord. So the fundamental meaning of being filled with the Spirit is being filled with joy that comes from God and overflows in song. I told you it's simple. It's first grade. But how many of us this morning can say, you know what, Pastor? I've known that since my early days as a Christian. But you know what? I still forget. I still forget that the joy is in the Holy Spirit. Luke agrees, because in the book of Acts chapter 13 verse 52, he says the disciples were filled with joy. This is Acts chapter 13 verse 52. The disciples were filled with joy, and guess what else? Anybody? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So then, my friend, to be sure, one of the marks of a person filled with the Spirit is that he's able to be... He's made strong. He's made strong to witness in the face of opposition. Acts 4:8, Acts 4:31, Acts 7:55, Acts 13:9. I'll say them again. To be sure, one of the marks of a person filled with the Spirit is that he is made strong to witness in the face of opposition. Acts 4:8. Acts 4:31. Acts 7:55. Acts 13:9. That is the experience of the New Testament believers. They were made strong to witness through the joy of the Lord. Listen, it is no witness to God when we moan and complain. Is it? Well, bless God, they're not doing it the way I think they ought to do it down there at the church. Well, I would imagine if I came to your house, you wouldn't be doing everything the way I would want you to do it either. So what? So what? We can major on minors. To the detriment of our own soul. When you're happy in God, you are strong and brave to witness to His grace. Can you say amen? I mean, how many of us remember meeting one of those believers that was just so full of joy and so full of life and wow? And how many of us remember meeting those self-righteous, holier-than-thou people that claim to be Christians and we just go, whoa, man, I don't want none of that. Even the psalmist of Old Testament said this in Psalm chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. You, O Lord, have put more joy in my heart than they have with their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Whatever joy or peace you find in alcohol, God can give you more. So much more. So, how can we obey this command? We are commanded to be full, and yet we are not the filler. The Holy Spirit is. The answer to this predicament in the New Testament is that God has ordained to move us into this life of fullness through faith. The pathway that the Spirit cuts through the jungle of our anxieties into the clearing of joy is the pathway of truth. Luke says of Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 5 that he was a man full of faith and what else? Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. And he says of Barnabas in Acts 11, 24, that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. The two go together, church. If a person isn't filled with faith, he will not be filled with the Spirit. He will not be filled with the Spirit of joy and peace. The most important text in Paul's writings is concerning faith and the Spirit, is Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Notice that it is by believing that we are filled with joy and peace. And it is by the Spirit that we abound in hope. When we put the two halves of the verse together, we see that through our faith, that is our believing, the Spirit fills us with His hope and thus with His joy and peace. Why are some people not filled with the Spirit? Because they don't believe. Some people. Why do they lose their hope? Because they're not filled with the Spirit. Why do they not have joy? Because they're not filled with the Spirit. You need to get filled. And of course, since our hope is an essential part of being filled with joy by the Spirit, what we have to believe is that God is, as Paul says, the God of hope. We have to rivet our faith on all that He has done and said to give us hope. Now, nobody stays full of the Spirit all the time. Somebody say amen. It is not once filled, always filled. We need refilling. No one is totally joyful and submissive to God and empowered for service all the time. But that should not stop us. We should understand that Paul is saying you can be filled many times. It's like the psalmist said, as a heart pants for the flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. So then, let me say this. Let me show you the connection between, if you haven't already got it, between the Holy Spirit and joy. Let me show you the connection between the Holy Spirit and joy. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We're going to do a lot of scriptures, so keep your Bible right on your lap and read with me. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 17. Holy Spirit opened this scripture to my heart way back in the 90s. I used to sing it as a chorus right after I first got saved. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's a way back in the 60s and 70s Jesus hippie song. You see the connection in your Bible? Do you see it? The kingdom of God has everything I need. Do you agree? The kingdom of God is here now. Not someday in the sweet by and by. I access all of the benefits through faith. But notice there is a strong link between the Holy Spirit and the joy. I am telling you this morning that some of you are lacking joy. And before this service is over, I'm praying that you'll get the Word and you'll get the Spirit and you'll exercise faith and you'll say, you know what? I'm not going to sit here anymore. Not going to sit here anymore. I'm going to get up. Bless God. And I'm going to praise God. And I'm not just going to praise Him with a little old anemic, mealy-mouthed, hallelujah. You know, Lord, I don't feel so good today. No, you're going to say enough is enough is enough. He's worthy. Bless God, He's worthy. Oh, church, the Holy Spirit makes Jesus so full, so real, that you almost can taste Him. First Thessalonians 1:6, please. First Thessalonians 1:6. The connection between the Holy Spirit and joy. The connection between the Holy Spirit and joy. And you became followers of us, 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with what? With joy of the what? Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Don't tell me that you're having it rough and you can't praise God. Paul is talking to the Thessalonians here, and he's saying, you followed us as we followed Jesus, even through great trials and tests, and you know what? You had joy. You had joy. You had joy of the Holy Ghost. I need the joy. I need the joy. The tougher the trial, the more anxious, the more that, yeah, right. I need Him. I need him. Well, Pastor, you folks that are weak, you probably need that. Okay. I admit, I'm weak. So crucify me. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with what? Knowledge? No. Filled with Bible teaching? No. Filled with doctrine? No. Filled with church membership? No. Filled with church attendance? No. Passed by a big church the other day. They were letting out. I said, my. It's kind of an odd time. Next time I went by there, I looked at their church sign to see what the times of their services were. They have a 5:30 service and a 7 o'clock service. You do the math. How long is the first service? 1 hour. Has to be. Can't be much beyond that to get them out and get the others in to start the next one at 7. And they do stay by the clock. 1 hour. What if I got up here this morning and I said to you folks, this service is going to be 1 hour. I know what most of you say. Well, then preacher's not preaching, is he? No. You would say, 1 hour? 1 hour? And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. We have raised up a whole generation. I was talking to a good friend yesterday, Scott Orman, and Scott and I were talking. Scott, with tears in his eyes, he said, you know, Pastor Jim, the thing that has been concerning me lately more, it just hit me, is that our churches are becoming less and less Pentecostal. It's not just about me anymore. It's about my kids and my grandkids and the future generation. What are we raising up? What are we raising up? If you teach people that Pentecostal, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-filled experience, is nothing more than raising your hands and singing a few spirited songs, if that's what you teach them, that's what they'll believe it is. And you will raise up a whole generation that know nothing of the power and the majesty and the glory and the presence and the wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit. They won't know. Whenever God pulls the scales off of the eyes of the preachers today and shakes them to their core and says, what are you doing? Are you merely building numbers and budgets and buildings? Or are you teaching believers what a New Testament believer is? It's going to be a rude awakening. Second, how should we deal with trials and tests? We just preached a series on that, didn't we? A little mini-series. How should we deal with trials and tests? Listen to James. My brethren, James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, you can't do that without the Holy Spirit, friend. You can fake it. You can put on a fake smile. And people can ask you how you're doing. You can go, I'm doing okay. And deep down inside, you're falling apart. Truth is, when you got the Holy Spirit, though, you can really say it and mean it. John chapter 15, verse 11. John chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you. What did he speak to them? John chapter 15. He spoke to them about the vine and the branches from John 12 through John 17 is the upper room or thereabouts. It's the last night of his life. And so he's teaching them about the victorious life, which is what the book of Ephesians is all about. The book of Ephesians that we started in, and we're going back there, be filled with the Spirit, is about the victorious life for the church and for individuals. And Jesus, the last night He was on earth, this is what He said to them in John chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, was Jesus a joyous person? Is Jesus a joyous person? Are you a joyous person? Have you inspired people by your joyous life? Luke 6:23. Jesus said in Luke 6:23, "Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." He was telling them about the persecution that would come upon them. He said, "Leap for joy." Some of you can't get an inch off the ground. And maybe there's physical reasons, and that's okay. If you can't leap for joy, throw a book. No. Shout! We all got voices. We can shout. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? And there's a part in there that says, shout. That is Randy giving you permission to shout. Blow him away. Knock him into the baptistry. Shut his socks off. And wake the person up next to you by so doing. The one place, now this is gonna seemingly undercut everything I've said, but bear with me. The one place that you don't experience joy. Anybody care to hazard a guess? The one experience that you'll have in this Christian life where it will not be one of joy is one of chastisement. When you're being chastised, you're not going to shout for joy. Let me give you the scripture. It's Hebrews 12:11. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." Amen. 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 "But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." I can look at some of you at different times and I can tell when you're being chastened. Now let me show you something here. When you're being chastened of the Lord, if you have one of those personalities and makeups that your face is a billboard, if you're not devious enough to hide it, your face tells the whole world. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? So, if you're being chastened of the Lord and you pout, guess what? Everybody around you knows it. It's written all over your face. You just might as well go ahead and say, "Okay, the Lord's after me. He's correcting me and I ain't liking it, so there. I'll get it right yet, but I'm being chastened." And you will know. It may be through a leader. It may be through your spouse. It may be through somebody you don't even never knew before. But when the Lord chastens us, it is not joyous. It is grievous. And it's written all over us. That's why some people come into church and they got this look on their face and they look like they've been sucking on persimmons all day. It's because they're being chastened. And they're not allowing the Lord to finish His work in them. Listen, if you rebel against the chastening of the Lord, guess what? Is He going to quit? Is He going to say, "Oh, the poor thing can't take it. I'm not going to correct him. I'm just going to let him get off the hook." Is that the way the Lord works? You're going to go round that mountain, honey, and round that mountain. I don't care if it takes 40 years. Until He gets that carnality out of you. And you start walking in the Spirit. What is the second fruit of the Spirit? joy. Okay. That's the one place, one experience where there won't be the joy. Fourth, we don't experience the joy of the kingdom by just being a spectator. Luke 17:20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." You've heard me say this before. Worship is not a spectator sport where a group of people sit in pews and watch an excited worship leader sing songs and play music. That is not worship. Randy commented to me way back when we were interviewing him to hire him. He said that he came and he visited with us before he ever really considered the church seriously. He came and visited the service because I told him, come and visit the service. You need to see what you're getting yourself into. He came and he talked to me later and he said, "You know what? I watched you people worship with soundtracks. And you acted like you had such liberty and freedom and expression of worship with soundtracks." He said, "I thought to myself, my goodness, what will they do with a live band? It isn't about the band. It isn't about the songs. It's about you. What do you bring to the worship service?" Matthew 6:33. How many can quote it? Matthew 6:33. How many can quote it? Matthew 6:33. How many can quote it? Sure you can. "Seek ye..." Come on. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Heard it before. Some of you have, I can tell by the look on your face. Luke 16:16. Luke 16:16. Jesus said, "The law and the prophets were until John," speaking of John the Baptist. "Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." Presseth into it. It don't come by observation. Yes, there's time for reflection. Yes, there's time for study. Yes, there's time for meditation. And then there's a time to get off your blessed assurance and put some action behind what you believe and glorify God. In your worship, in your walk, in your daily life, the consistency of joy. "Well, Pastor, you don't understand. See, I'm bipolar." So am I. I just choose to be bi all the time. Hi. I choose to. You say, "You're not really bipolar, are you, Pastor? We didn't know that when we voted on you." No, I don't know. I really don't know. I've never been diagnosed with it. But the way some Christians live, depressed one day, hiring a cot the next day, depressed the next day. Now, if truly you have a medical condition, get some medication. Or until you get healed. It's okay. Get some medication. It's okay. But learn this secret, that praise and worship and prayer does something for you that nothing else can do. It absolutely does. Enter in. Now, okay, folks, get ready. Get your Bibles out. You're going to have to run with me now. Get your Bible ready. See if I can take you right through it here. Nehemiah. I'm going to Nehemiah first. Okay. You got Nehemiah? Nehemiah is the historical record of the Jews returning from exile to Jerusalem to rebuild. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah discovered the word and he starts reading it to the people, and they read it all day. And the people would sit and listen. And the people were so convicted of their sins, they were weeping and they were just broken. And so this went on for a while. And then finally Nehemiah, he says to them, he said, "Mourn not," verse number 9. "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept." Beloved, joy is important. "Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. For he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the what? The joy of the Lord is your strength." I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that the reason we may be having difficulty getting through is that we don't have the joy. Get the joy. The joy and the Holy Spirit are inexplicably and inextricably linked and joined together. Get the joy. Get the joy. Amen. Now, I laid that foundation. I want to move a little farther now. I knew every one of you knew that scripture. Psalm 45, Psalm 45, Psalm 45, Psalm 45, verse number 7. It's a whole lot of worship in here, but I want to go straight to the heart of it, because I want to get to the altar service here. Psalm 45 and verse number 7. "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." If you will set your heart to seek the kingdom of God, and you'll love righteousness and hate wickedness. Now, don't get me started on this, because I don't want to chase no rabbits, but let me just lay it down for you. If you're going to mess with sin, if you're going to peddle with sin, if you're going to keep lollygagging around and going after the world and fooling around and playing games, then I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to have a consistent life, and you're not going to have the blessings of God, and you're not going to have the joy of the Holy Ghost. But if you will love righteousness and hate wickedness, what does he say? He will anoint. What is anoint? What is that? What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. He will anoint. The Holy Spirit will anoint you with joy. Oh, boy, you shouldn't sit on the front row. He will anoint you with joy. Wow! You mean there's an anointing of joy? Perish the thought. That'll ruin a lot of churches. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye ants." No, lands, peoples, of every people group, of every culture, of every nation and every tribe. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Does that mean me? Yes, that means me. Serve the Lord with what? How are you serving the Lord right now? Can I ask you, friend? Can I ask you, wife? Can I ask you, husband? Can I ask you, best friend? How are you serving the Lord right now? Are you serving Him with gladness? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Oh, back to Ephesians. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I ain't got nothing to thank Him for. Pastor, you don't understand my situation. God, it's rough. It's hard, Pastor. Somebody have some pity on me. Okay, I got pity on you. Now let's praise Him. Okay? We got that out of the way. You got the pity. Now let's praise Him. Hallelujah to God. You say, what is He on? I love Isaiah. Let me get here. Hang on a second. I didn't highlight this one. Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. This is the prophecy of the return of the Jews. Now, you got to understand something. This is literal. This is going to happen. This has happened. But it is also spiritual in that we have received the Holy Spirit, which was promised to the Jews, which they rejected. So we enter into this. Verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. How many of you have been ransomed? Adam, have you been ransomed? Frank, you've been ransomed? What's your name again? Yeah, you've been ransomed.
Pastor Isaiah 1.
Isaiah 35, verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs. And what will happen when they come to Zion with songs? What? Say it, Carlos. Everlasting joy shall what?
Be on their heads.
Be on their heads.
And it will overtake them.
Joy on your head. Joy on your head. Everlasting. 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 This I have learned. You can access this from now until Jesus comes back. It's not, some people say, well, I'm afraid that if I get too excited and I get blessed, then the next time I won't get that high. Oh, give me a break. Listen, you haven't got high enough yet, honey. Ooh, bless God, if I could, I would run these pews. Everlasting joy upon their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Amen.
Is that good? That's good. Isaiah 61. Just take your Bible study program you got on your computer, or take a concordance and just go find the word joy. Get a good Young's concordance, analytical concordance, and just take the word joy and start going down through there. You won't get halfway through that until you're shouting all over the room. You're going, praise God, why have I been walking around with my head hanging down and letting the devil beat me up with depression and confusion and everything else when I'm a child of God? And whether I've got $10 or $10,000, it makes no difference, because I've got the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. And it doesn't depend on anything external. It's what I got in here. I've got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Woo. Isaiah 61. Alan, you can quote this by memory. You know this verse, because it's quoted again in Luke 4:18 by Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings. That's what I'm bringing you this morning. This is good tidings. Unto the meek. How many of you are meek? Raise your hand. Let me see if you're meek. You just lost it, because you got to be humble and you just, you know, but. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You are meek. You are meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's what I'm doing here this morning. to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's what I'm doing here this morning. That's what all of us are called to do. Amen? Ain't that what all of us are called to do? And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Glory to God. That's what we're supposed to be doing here, church. We're supposed to be setting prisoners free. Praise God. Praise God. Take one of these cards. Hallelujah. Call me in the morning. Never mind. Here, read this card. I want to show you something. I'm going to give these out. I'm going to make these available to you this morning. Listen, this is something that I just believe is a good idea. Read this card. Read this card. Let me just throw them at you. My God, I'll just get them out there quickly. There you go. Take this card. I'm going to show you something here. Don't worry. There's plenty of them. There's no problem. Just take these cards. Here you go. Take these cards. There you go. Take that card. Hallelujah. Take them cards. Bless God. Take these cards. I want you to see these cards. Take them cards. You'll use them. Bless God. I got some more of them back here. I'll get the rest of you in a minute. Listen, this is something I believe we got to do, church. This is something we got to do. We got to get these out there. And we got to give them to people. Here. Hey, helper. There you go. Very good. There are going to be plenty of them. I got plenty of them. I got a load of them. That's what I want you to do. I want you to take this card. Next time somebody says, "Will you pray for me?" You go, "Hallelujah. Yes, I will. Praise God, I will indeed. Thank you, thank you, thank you." And you give them that card. And you say, "I'm going to pray for you. And not only am I going to pray for you, my church is going to pray for you. What is your name?" Your first name only. That's all I need to know. And what is your name? And then you tell them, you say, "Okay, this is what you do. Turn the card over, read the back of it. Whenever the Lord answers your prayer..." See, you don't have to call them back. Whenever the Lord answers your prayer, you give this card to someone else who needs prayer and tell them to call us. And we will pray for them also. Hallelujah. How many people do you know that will just offer to pray for you for nothing? And not try to sell you a book or a tape or get an offering out of you? Huh? "Hey, listen, honey, we'll pray for you. Amen? We'll be glad to pray for you." So where was I now? Isaiah 61. Opening of prison. Another thing. Maybe you want to take a tract. I think we've got some back here. I don't know if they're any good or not. They're probably so outdated that they're yellow by now. But go down to the local bookstore and get some tracts. Maybe you want to give them a tract. I don't know. That's up to you. Be led of the Spirit. You do it however the Spirit wants. I'm going to put all these right out there on the table. You take a handful of them. Now, don't just go give them out to people and invite them to church. That's not what you're doing. It's got the times on there. You are agreeing to pray for them. That's what this is about. If they want to know where you go to church, it's plastered all over the front of the card. No problem. They can come. They're welcome to come. We're not trying to make merchandise of people here. Verse number 2, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." And now look at this. "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion." You know what the Holy Spirit showed me about that? I'm gonna paraphrase. Please forgive me, Lord, if I'm in error here, Holy Spirit. But let me use something that's more relevant to right where you are. He sent me here this morning to appoint unto all of you that are in mourning in Christian Outreach Center. Some of you are mourning over relationships. Some of you are mourning over health issues. Some of you are mourning over children. Some of you are mourning over spouses. Some of you are mourning over issues that are probably so complex I can't even begin to decipher. You're mourning. You are in mourning. I know you are. I can tell the difference. And the Lord sent me here this morning with this message for you. And this is it. "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning." Oil, joy. What does oil represent? Are we beginning to see a connection? Oil, joy. Oil, joy. Oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Can I borrow a scripture from Jesus in Luke chapter 24? I believe it's verse 49. But tarry in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem until what? Until you be endued. What does that word endued mean? Clothed with power from on high. Who is going to clothe you? The Holy Spirit. You're going to be clothed in the Holy Spirit. Put on a garment of praise. When you put on the Holy Spirit, you can't help but praise Him. You can't stop. You can't do it enough. You reach a point where you just say, God, I don't have words. Lord, if I could leap 20 feet in the air, I would leap to praise You. I know some of you are going to call the district on me and say, our pastor's crazy. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Now listen to me. The old saying, and I don't really like it, so I'm going to change it and change up the meaning of it. The old saying that preachers used to use to shut down the Holy Spirit, and that's what they used it for. They had some people in the church that got excited and were a little more emotional than what they could tolerate. And so they'd get in the pulpit and they would say, I don't care how high you jump, just as long as you walk straight when you hit the ground. They used it to shut the Holy Spirit down. But I'm going to say this. We do need to match our walk with our worship. But if I am going to wait until I am sinlessly perfected and totally mature and absolutely gloriously sainted to worship Him, uninhibited in liberty, then I'm never going to worship Him. I'm never going to be free. I'm going to go right on in that bondage until somebody like that crazy Jim Bunch comes along and says, listen to me, I preached and I pastored for years and years and years before I learned about the liberty that I can have in the Holy Spirit and in worship. And now that I know, I will not go back to that old way. And I will do everything I can to encourage believers to come out of their shell, to come out of their hiding place, to come out of their inhibitions, to come out of their traditions and begin to be demonstrative in their worship, to begin to show Him they love Him, begin to worship Him as a participant instead of a spectator. What is my definition of worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth? It's not mine. I borrowed it from a Baptist. Bless God. Worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth is when I refuse to conceal any longer my true feelings for Jesus Christ. Have you ever been in love with someone and you were afraid to tell them? You just couldn't go to them and tell them. You kept it a secret in your heart until finally you just burst. And you burst all over them and you said, I love you. And they go, whoa. Eventually, when you get so filled with the Holy Spirit, you won't be able to stop yourself. You will burst all over us. Let me see. This is Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Man, I tell you what, when I get tanked up on the Holy Spirit, I know that. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Right now, this morning, God is rejoicing over you with joy. Why are you not returning that grace to Him? One last scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Oh, I'm sorry, this is not the last scripture. This is next to the last scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. I'm sorry. Did I misread that? Did I misread that?
No.
But what? Rejoice? Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, right there, some of you put that out there in the future at the rapture. But read the next verse. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, I'm not going to be reproached for the name of Christ and the rapture after the rapture. So he must be talking about the present. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, have a pity party. Is that what it says in your Bible?
No.
What does it say? What?
Happy?
You're blessed? That's in the Bible? Happy? Happy? I told you the story about a fellow named Bill in the church I was in. He was so full of the Holy Ghost. They brought him pink slip on the job. Sorry, Bill. Things are kind of slow right now. We're going to let you go. He said, well, praise the Lord. Started laughing. Full of the Holy Spirit. Guy looked at him and said, you're crazy. I just terminated you. He said, God's my source. I'm not worried about it. Hallelujah. Happy are you. Actually, the word are you is in italics, meaning it's not in the original, it's supplied by the translator. So it simply means the word happy is the only word that's really there. Happy. Happy. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Wow, 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 wow. The Spirit of glory. One last verse, and then I'm asking Randy to come back. Come on back, Randy, right now. And bring the team. Come on back and bring the team. One last verse. Where did I mark that? And it's Hebrews 12, 2. Hebrews 12, 2. Hebrews 12, 2. This is the last verse. Nobody heading for the door. If you do, you'll miss the good part that's coming. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, really. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, who are those witnesses? Who are they, church? Who? Sorry? Who are they? We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It could be the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But it's also all those saints who have gone on before who are watching our progress. It's the angelic hosts that are gathered about us. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, it does say witnesses. Seeing that that is true, what are we to do? Say it with me, church. We are to lay aside every weight. Now, what I wanted to do here this morning, and I didn't. I forgot to bring it. I was going to bring a couple of big old suitcases. That's from Steve. I was going to bring a couple of big old suitcases, and I was going to get that young man right there, Ethan, to come down here. And now I'm blowing my illustration for future messages, but that's okay. You'll get the visual, and that'll be enough, I guess. I was going to have Ethan come down here. Oh, I don't have him here, buddy. I was going to use you in it, but I don't have him here. But I was going to have Ethan come down here. And I was going to stand Ethan right here. And I was going to have two great big old suitcases, and I was going to load them with rocks. And I was going to have him sitting here, and I was going to say, okay, Ethan, pick these up and run to the back door. And of course, he'd just be struggling just to get a few steps. And then I would say, okay, Ethan, come back. And then I was going to take the rocks out of the suitcases, and I was going to say, now go. You know, and of course, he would run like the wind. Thank you, Ethan. You can go back and join your dad. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin, every weight which doth so easily beset us. Easily beset us. And let us run with what? Patience. The race that is set before us. Or the course that is set before us. And then look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. So, in this race, and it's not a 100-yard dash. It's like a marathon. It's a long distance race. Looking unto Jesus, we got our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, Are you getting this? Who for the joy that was set before him. What did he do? He endured the suffering of the cross. Now, church, if Jesus can have the joy of the Holy Spirit facing the cross, who am I to sit here and moan and gripe and complain about my little old circumstances and situations that don't even come close to that? How did he do that? Well, if you study other scriptures, you're going to find out that it was the same Holy Spirit that came upon him at his baptism and that was on him throughout his ministry that enabled him to do everything he did. It was the same Holy Spirit that enabled him to go to the cross and endure the suffering. What am I saying this morning? There is a direct link between Holy Ghost and joy, and there is a direct connection of experiencing those through praise and worship. That's why I believe so strongly that we need to come into this place, because we have such rare opportunities to do it. Once a week? Oh, church, once a week? We for 30 minutes? Oh, man. Stand with me right now.